Okay, Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study together. We pray, as always, for more insight and enlightenment as we read these things. And we pray for the body universal, that each member, you would meet them at their point of need, and they may find grace to help in time of need. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're getting to Moses, looking at verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And we know what happened. That was another one of God's miracles and wonders, where he delivers the children out of the bondage of the Egyptians. They come through the Red Sea. You would think that's enough demonstration of miraculous power, ability, enough of the I am characteristic for them to find a little comfort in, to find confidence, to have confidence in the faithfulness of God. But there in verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Verse 24 says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, which is what they should have done. They should have cried unto the Lord. And I would say cried unto the Lord, just a petition, like he didn't know they didn't need water, or that he didn't know the water was bitter. They cried unto Moses, and Moses went unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. He wants to see now if that is enough proof, additional proof, to cause them, verse 26, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes." That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? For people who just came out of how many days? Out of the wilderness? How many days? 3 days. They just came 3 days from a miraculous deliverance from the Lord. They go 3 days, and you talk about memory loss in that? Their memory has faded that quickly. So to ask them now, will they diligently hearken? Will they do that which is right? Will they give ear to his commandment and keep his statute? I'll tell you, like my sister would say, that's a negative. she said that would be a negative. So the proof, the Lord doesn't really need any proof. The proof is for them, not for him. The proof would be for them to realize that whatever they sign up for, if it's not dependent on I am, if it's not leaning on the rock for deliverance, for their sustenance, then it won't work. The Lord is asking them to do something that he knows it's impossible. There's a verse in Nehemiah, I believe it's chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Now this test, this trial, goes on for 40 years. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse, wow. Now you can read that chapter in your time, because it's packed with what we've just went through. Let's start at verse 9. Nehemiah 9, verse 9. And did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heard us their cry by the Red Sea, and show us signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they deal proudly against them, so didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. Verse 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Verse 15, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promisest them that they should go into the land which thou hast sworn to give them. Verse 20, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. That's the verse I wanted. Can you imagine going 40 years, how about 40 days? They went 40 years and their clothes didn't wear out and their feet swelled not. I remember the pastor saying, that's what he said. But can you imagine going all that time and you don't need a change, a wardrobe, your feet don't hurt. You got a cloud by day when they came out of Egypt, a pillar of fire by night, air conditioning and heat, light, protection, all these things that they witnessed. And they still doubted God's capacity to sustain, to deliver. They still doubted Jehovah. Is the Lord among us or not? I would say that's a forgetful people, as Stephen would say, a stiff-necked people. So his proof, back to Exodus 15, his proof is for them. It's not that the Lord doesn't know. And when they go into these trials, and we're not going to cover all these trials, but they begin to ask the Lord. We'll start at verse 16, or chapter 16. We'll start at 16, verse 1. Exodus 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Do you know what that bread from heaven is? Anybody remember that?
Well, it was manna, but it was technically the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, it's the manna, right? But I'm glad you said it was the manna. When we read this, we always think of the manna. But notice this in verse 8. Well, we'll start at verse 5. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Do you think the Lord heard their murmurings? he says, he reminds them, I heard your murmurings. Verse 8, the Lord heareth your murmurings, that you murmur not against us, against him. Paul says in Thessalonians, I believe it's Thessalonians, he said, when you heard the word of God, that's what he, well, I guess we better go over there. Well, let's read this first. I don't want to get too sidetracked. Verse 9. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he had heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you. So we look at the manna, and most times you don't hear about the quail. They had meat at night, and the manna came in the morning. How many think about the quail? How many of you think about the quail and the manna? That's a legitimate question I'm asking. Do you ever?
It depends on how deep I'm studying at the moment.
When we talk about the children of Israel, when we rehearse this passage, do you ever think of, well, they got quail too? Not just manna, they got quail. Do you ever think of the quail?
Yes.
Yes.
And most times when I hear that come up, I don't hear anything about the quail in that conversation. It's always about the manna. So I wanted to make sure that we didn't miss the quail, which
I think it's because the manna was put into the ark, but not quail. That's probably why you tend to zero in on the manna.
Because that's probably the case. That's what he told them to put into the ark, right? Now,
so am I wrong? Didn't they? Am I wrong? Didn't they choke on quail?
That's where I'm going. That's where I want to take you to this passage, because it is, I would say it's comical, but it is, I don't think people realize that how stubborn they were. Everything that God tried them with, they failed. Numbers 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of that place, of the place, Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was the color of delium. Well, we don't need to read all that to get to the verse we want to get to. Numbers 11. Let's switch down to verse. Trying to find that when they were the quail was coming out of their nostrils. If somebody finds that, let us know. I thought it was in Numbers.
11:20.
Oh yeah, okay. I was almost there. 11:20. Okay. Let's start at verse 18. Numbers 11:18. And say unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. And the Lord, that's what he did. He gave them enough quail for a month. That reminds me of anybody remember that movie? What was it Forrest Gump? What was the name of that movie? Not Forrest Gump. It was Tom Hanks was in it, where he was a castaway, where he was stranded on the island and he ate crab, nothing but crab. And when he was rescued and he got back to land, he went to a party and they had crab. That was the last thing he wanted to see is some more crab. But here are the children of Israel. 30 days they ate quail until it came out at your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you. Now, if you ever had something like that happen, not this again, not chicken again, not fish again.
Bell peppers.
You see, I wasn't going to say that. Because it was my wife.
I know.
Now she's laughing now, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. But that was you do remember that story where every dish, and I'll say, bless her heart, every dish that she made had bell peppers in it. And I said it in a nice way. It was like, can you make something? We don't have to have bell peppers in it. She said, I thought you liked bell peppers. Thank God. I do, but not every day. I guess be happy to know it. It's been a minute since I had a bell pepper. Well, actually it was Friday, but it was, actually I have some today, but it's not as bad now. It's not loathsome to me. So
that's good.
Yes. So back to Exodus, where they complained about not having meat to eat. And the Lord, verse 13, Exodus 16, verse 13. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that was lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Now he gives them instructions. We're not going to go through all this for time's sake, how to deal with this manna. And of course, he says, you gather enough just for that day. Don't have any leftover. Verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And they bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And of course, you know about the Sabbath. He told them on the sixth day, you get twice as much because it won't be there on the Sabbath. And of course, on the Sabbath day, you have some of them out there looking for it. So it never failed. Whatever he said, listen to, they didn't listen to. Whatever he said, hearken to, they didn't hearken to. Whatever he said to walk in this way, they didn't walk in that way. So his proving of them, it showed exactly, what they were made of. Moses is given his responsibility to deal with these people as God's representative to them. And this is what we want to focus on, is that was Moses, that was his responsibility to be the mediator between God and the people. And consequently, one of the trials out of the 10 was the golden calf in Exodus 32. And we'll go there, Exodus 32, which really is the height of their disobedience. In Exodus 32, Moses goes up to the mount to get more instruction from God of what they are to listen to, what they are to walk in. We call it the Ten Commandments, but it was the law. He goes into the mount in verse 32, chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. He's up in the mount getting more instruction from the Lord that delivered them, that they can walk in, which they said that they wanted to do. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Moses, he made a good argument, didn't he? His appeal was in the right direction. Although, and we won't get into too many particulars on that, verse 12, where it says, repent of this evil against thy people. It's not like the Lord would not have been just in destroying them. So it's not like Moses was telling the Lord to repent of something when he said thy evil. That makes it look like the Lord is unjust. I don't know if you've ever heard somebody say, you see, the Lord had to repent for something bad. So how could it be a just and righteous God? Those are his people, which he purchased. He could do with them what he will. And this goes back to when he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful. That's what he says in chapter 33, verse 16. where he tells Moses that I will go up with you. Verse 16 says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now, I see this statement here. After the golden calf incident, and it could have been any of those other orders that they disobeyed, God could have destroyed them all because he did not have to be gracious to them. He did not have to be merciful for them. But being Jehovah, remember in the passage in John where he says, think not to say in yourselves that we be Abraham's seed. He says that God could raise up these stones to be Abraham's seed. That's his ability. That's what he can do. When he told Moses, I'm going to get rid of them and I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses says, don't do that, Lord. The Egyptians will say, that's the reason you brought them out here. But the Lord, he goes from being the I am, like whatever it is that you need, I'll do, I'll supply. And now it's kind of selective. He says, I will be gracious on whom I will, and I will be merciful on whom I will. He said, I'll be the I am, but only to those who I want to be. Now that sounds a little harsh, but did he get rid of some of them? Yeah, he wasn't gracious to all of them. And this is what, there's a verse that says that those that despise Moses died without mercy in the hand of two or three witnesses. In John, where it says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace, and grace for grace. And I remember asking the question, how many people died when Jesus was on earth? Or how many people died under his ministry? Let me rephrase that. How many people did he kill, Jesus Christ? How many people did he kill under his ministry?
None.
Why not?
Because he was there to heal Israel.
So was the Lord back here. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Remember that? We just read that. You know what the difference is? Is back here.
Grace.
Yeah, he just said, I'll be gracious on whom I will, and I will be merciful. So grace is back here too. The element is this. The element, the factor, is the law. It's what they said they could do. It's them relying on them and not I am, not on Jehovah. That's why Moses goes up to get the law, to show them you're not able to do this. What the law does, it paints a picture for them of God's standard, of God's righteousness, of God's requirements, and it puts it before them something that they can't do. I'm here to prove them whether they will listen. Let me go back and read that again. I'm going to prove them whether they, that was in Exodus 15, 26. He says, and if they will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord and do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. What does that require, Blake? For somebody to do that, what do you think that would require for a man to be able to meet that criteria?
Faith.
Grace.
Faith, grace. Yeah, he'd have to have something on the inside that enables
submission.
Submission. Yeah. So let's take the most sincere. You're back here with the Egyptian or with the Israelites. The most sincere Israelite. Do you think anybody was more sincere than Moses of the Israelites? Do you think Moses was a sincere man, that he really wanted to do what God wanted?
Sure.
Sure. Did he fail?
Yes.
Why?
He didn't have the empowerment to do it. He didn't have what it took. Moses.
Yeah, but he didn't. Let's go back here. Exodus again. This is when he goes up to Exodus 32, when he goes up to get the commandments. Exodus 32, Exodus 33, verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as the man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wouldst send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he goes on to talk about that. But in that passage, the Lord goes into the cloud, and he's seeing the Lord face to face. This separates Moses from the rest of the Israelites, the access. So much so, remember when Moses comes out of the pillar, the cloud, his face is shining, and they fear him. When I say, well, Karen said he didn't have the power, or the Lord had given him the power of influence and reverence among the people. They were to reverence Moses. Let's see. I'm getting a little look at Numbers 14. I think Numbers 14. This is when Miriam speaks against Moses.
Is it Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married or something?
Yes.
Like
that? What passage is that?
12:1.
Yes. Okay. Numbers 12:1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came up. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Now, we went to that because Moses, you can see the position that God had given him. You can see the faithfulness that Moses had. With all that, the position, the access, the influence, the signs and the wonders that Moses, that God did by Moses, he still was not allowed to enter because of his disobedience. Moses is the embodiment of the law. He is the lawgiver. when he says that the Lord thy God will raise up a prophet like unto me, and you, if you don't, I'm paraphrasing, if you don't hear him, then you will be cut off. The prophet like unto Moses, you'd have to see he's going to be a deliverer, a ruler, a judge. He's going to have miraculous power, or demonstration of miraculous power, signs and wonders. But above all, he is going to have that intimate relationship with the Father that nobody else has. Blake, he's going to have that intimate relationship with the Father that nobody else has. That's why when Jesus comes, what does he call himself? I am the Son of God. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. But he would make statements. If you look at those statements that the Lord would make, I do nothing but what my Father tells me to do. What my Father says, that I do. And they would put, let me see if I can look at John chapter 5. Now, this is the prophet like unto Moses. So he's going to be saying the things that the Father wants them to do. Let's see, John chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath. Verse 15, 5:15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So when he talked about being a son of God, they knew what he meant. That's an even closer relationship than Moses had. John, let's see, chapter 5, verse 37. But I have, John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in this light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which my Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Did that sound like Moses? Moses could say that to Miriam and Aaron, couldn't he? He says, you don't have the relationship that I have. Verse 38, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? When you go to the next chapter, I'm just going to read this couple of verses in the next chapter. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. This is that prophet. So the signs, the wonders, the relationship, the face-to-face interaction, it was the authority that God was given to Moses, not just to separate him, but that he would separate him so that the people would listen to him. When they corrupted themselves with the golden calf, and not just the golden calf, but the 10 trials that come through the wilderness, it shows them, it should show them, that they will Jenny, with the 10 trials that they fail, it should prove to them they could never, in their state, they could never honor God. They would never fill up that responsibility. So what's the next course? Paul said this, that the law was added because of not sincerity, not willingness.
Transgressions.
The law was added, right, because of sin. It was added. What is Romans chapter? What verse is that? There's that memory right there. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse. No, that's Galatians, isn't it? I know there's something in 5, but we'll find that. Romans 5, verse 12. We'll just read there. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. Verse 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What is the offense? The law entered that the offense might abound. What's the offense?
Self-righteousness.
Unbelief.
Okay, I like that. It's their sin. It's the fact that they won't listen, they won't hearken, they won't give ear, and they won't do because of sin. They don't have the ability to do it. That's why they have to have the covenant. I heard you guys talking about this earlier. That's why the covenant comes in to make sin, Romans chapter 7, exceeding sinful. See, as if God doesn't outline to them, by what we call the Ten Commandments, if he doesn't outline it to them, there'll still be people back then and even now that says, well, I'm trying. I'm working at it. I'll get there. That's the delusion. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has to prove it. So no better way to prove it than to write it down so you can keep track of all the things that you do wrong. You can see it. That's what the law, nomos, that's what the word is, to number, to list out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What they call in the legal realm, to prove yourself that you are a repeat offender. Not just, he only did it one time. No, this is habitual behavior. People do things and they say, yeah, I'm sorry, but that's not who I am. When they get hemmed up, that's not who I am. I didn't mean that. I know I said that, but that's not who I am. Really?
That's self-delusion.
In Galatians, we'll read this. Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to try them, to do them. So I want to do this. You don't get justified by wanting to do something. Trying to do something. If you're walking, trying to meet the requirements of the law, you'll die trying. You can't do it. Moses, back to Exodus, when Moses gets the law, that's what his point is. His point there is to intensify their sinfulness. He is there, I think it was mentioned earlier, again, he was showing them, he was a schoolmaster to bring them up unto, now they don't know this, to that prophet. Now this goes down the line. So this is God's foreknowledge. Moses, like I said, is just a type, but he's to bring them unto Christ. Bring them to a point of helplessness, hopelessness. In that day, it was Jehovah. In the Lord's day, it's going to be Jesus, which is Jehovah. It's going to be another deliverer that comes, the deliverer. So as they go across, as they progress up to Christ's day, when that prophet shows up, he begins to say things like this. Ye have heard them say of old time, or you have heard them say, thou shalt not do this, but I say this. So he's making himself greater than Moses. That's peculiar, isn't it? John chapter 8, he says this. John chapter 8, I think it's in Luke, where he talks about even though one rose from the dead, that's Luke, where they wouldn't believe it.
Luke 16:29.
Yes. And verse 16:28, the man says, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The significance of that is his five brethren were sinners just like him. So if they don't believe Moses and Moses' condemnation of them, you think they'll believe a man who rises from, which they didn't, a man that rises from the dead like Jesus Christ and comes back to them and said, I'm going to chalk this up that you did this through ignorance, that you're not really that sinful. You're not really that wicked. So we'll send some messengers back to you to give you a change of mind. We know that you're sincere and honest and you want to do what God wants done. So even back here, Abraham says, if they don't believe what's written, it doesn't matter what the miraculous demonstration is, even to the point of being raised from the dead, they won't believe. Now, that's a great statement of what we call faith is believing the record. Believe what's written about you, not what you feel, what you think. It's the witness of God, what God says about you, about us. And that's what Moses does. Moses is just a messenger. And because they believe not Moses, which Paul said that he wrote every city hath them that preach Moses every Sabbath. And yet they were zealous of Moses, not realizing that don't you hear what Moses is saying about you? He's not saying that you're good. Moses is condemning you, but they never got that lesson. We'll go through and see these trials that the children of Israel fail. They were designed to show that they could not do these things. And we'll find out next week when Moses gets to the end of his ministry, the Lord tells him to do something, which is indicative of him embodying the law. The Lord tells him to get up to this mount, and in this mountain, I'm going to let you see the land that I promised, but you're not going to go into this land because you didn't do something that you were supposed to do. So these trials, what they're intending to prove, what they're designed to prove, is they can't do it. They can't make it without him, but they don't want him. And they may not say that explicitly, but they're proving that they don't want to walk in his ways. They're proving that they can't walk in his ways. So the agreement that they go under, it's a failed agreement from the start. And that's where the difference between law and grace is. It'll never be by you meeting your end of the bargain, performance-wise. It'll always be by something that Jehovah has to do for you. And Moses is just the messenger. Like they say, don't shoot the messenger. Moses says, I'm just delivering the message. And we'll find out a little bit more as we go forward. I'm skipping a lot of things, but I'm trying to move toward the end, because if we don't cut some things short, we'll be in Exodus for 2 months.
I thought you were going to say 40 years.
Oh, no. We want to get an idea about things that happen in Exodus because it helps, but we also want to stay true to the character. So we'll stop there, pick up again next week, Exodus 33:11. That's where we'll pick up next time. So we'll stop there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time we spent looking into your word. We pray as we meditate on these things that the message intended through the verses will come through. And we just thank you again for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.